book of Exodus, chapter number 21. Exodus, chapter number 21. I'm going to bring a little Bible study kind of philosophical study tonight. I've been putting it off for 6 months. Six months ago I started to, and then I got on this Bible study about heaven. And people ask me back yonder, months ago, they kept asking, "Brother House, what right does the government have? What are our rights, and what control should the government have? And why is it wrong for the government to control our schools? And what's wrong with social programs? And what's wrong with socialism?" And I'm gonna give you. I really want your mind tonight. I want you just to follow me logically as I talk to you for a while. I've been intending to do it for months, and I thought I'd just take tonight to do it. So look, if you would, first at Exodus 21, verse number 12. Exodus 21, verse number 12. "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death." In other words, if a man kills someone, murders somebody, he'll give that, pay for it with his life. "If a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee." That's talking about the cities of refuge that he'll explain in chapter number 20 of the book of Joshua. But I want you to notice there God's sanctity that he places on a person's person, a person's body, a person's person. He said if somebody takes a life, he'll pay for it with his own life. So the first thing I want you to notice is a person's body or person. Now then, look, if you would please, at chapter number 21, back to verse number 5. "And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go free." He's talking about a servant now that has a chance to go free and says, "I will not go free." He wants to stay. "Then his master shall bring him in under the judge. He shall also bring him to the door or under the doorpost. His master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." But I want you to notice this is a volunteer serving forever. So we read a verse that dealt with our person. When I say our person, I mean our body. Then a scripture that deals with our freedom. Now look at chapter number 22, verse number 2. "If a thief be found breaking up, and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him." Boy, compare that with our courts today. And a guy that breaks in your house can sue you and get some money from you if you don't treat him right and serve him some food while he's in the house. But Bible said, if a thief be found breaking up, somebody breaks in your house and you don't know. So listen to me now. Hey, listen to me now. You don't know why he's there. Somebody said, "Well, if he comes in to kill," well, you don't have time to even fill out an application form and find out what he's there for. The Bible said if you shoot him and kill him, you won't have to pay for that because he's breaking into your house. Now, there are three things that are given sacred here. First thing that's given sacred is our person. You have a right to defend your own person. The second thing that is sacred is your freedom. You have a right to defend your own freedom. And the third thing that is sacred is your property. You have a right to defend your own property. And I want to talk to you tonight on this little subject, the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I think I can help you tonight and explain to you some of our positions in fundamental circles as to why we won't let them license our schools and why we won't let them, we want to become obligated to the government and why we don't take government support and so forth. And so I think it'll be interesting for you to listen carefully, if you will. Father, thank you for this book. It has the answer for everything. Bless us as we study this portion of it and the ramification of these teachings and these truths. Give our study tonight thy attention, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I pray, Mary and John Lakey are looking for their parents back with the usher station. Let's be sure they're here so we can want to get these folks' children lost. Anybody know where these folks are? Is that it? They're your children? Okay, fine. Thank you. Abigail Benton is also looking for her parents by the usher station. I want to be sure that they know that they're here, so we'll... All right, good. Also, there's a Red Mercury looking for his parents. Your parking lights are on, Indiana 45L8481, in the Federal Building parking lot across on State Street. Now, Father, help us to be alert as we discuss tonight what I think ought to be taught in every schoolroom in America. And I pray you'd help us to know tonight when we finish the biblical responsibilities that are ours and the government's. Bless us as we think on these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'd rather you wouldn't take notes. We'll make this available in case you want it. And if you like, if you remind me, Brother John, to get through, I'll read the main points and let you take notes on the main points all at one time. But it's going to be a little, you have to logic with me a little while, so let me have your mind. First thing I want to say, and I'm going to say eight things tonight, eight main things. First thing I want to say is every individual on the face of the earth has a God-given right to defend three things. Number one, his person. Number two, his freedom. Number three, his property. Now, we read those verses a while ago in Exodus chapter 21 and 22. Every person, you have a right as an individual to be able to defend your person. I want to make this plain also. Please listen to me now. Some of you whispered long enough tonight. Please listen to me. You have a perfect right to defend your person, and the Constitution gives you a right to bear arms to do so. You have a perfect right to do so. I'm not saying we ought to have the careless use of arms. I don't go down the street, doing a pistol like this and firing up in the air. Usually I fire at some signpost or something on the side of the road. But I'm saying that you have a right to defend your person. You also have a right to defend your freedom. And you also, with force, by the way, with force. And you also have a right to defend your property. Brother Colston, I'm going to use you tonight because you're so defenseless. But I'll use you. Brother Colston here is just John Doe, USA, typical United States citizen. This man right here has three God-given rights. Number one, he has a right to defend his person. Number two, he has a right to defend his liberty or his freedom. Number three, he has a right to defend his property. Now, those are his God-given rights. All right. Now then, we've got that established. You tell me, so we'll have a foundation laid. Brother Colston has a right first to defend his what? Person. Number two, he has a right to defend his what? Freedom. Number three, he has a right to defend his what? His property. All right. Now I'd like for all you fellows on this side to get up here around with the Colston, if you would, please. Now we have these fellows. Each of these fellows has a perfect right to defend his person, his freedom, and his property. However, a group has a right, if they want to join together. And in joining together, they can defend these three things. For example, we have five men here. Let's suppose that Brother Jorgensen's person is attacked, then these fellows say, okay, we will attack, we will defend you, and the five of us will defend each of us from the attack on our person. And the five of us will see to it that each of us has his freedom defended, and the five of us will see to it that each of us has his property defended. All right, that's the second thing. A group has a right, okay, an individual has a right to defend his what? Person and his what? Freedom and his what? Property. And the second thing I said, that a group of individuals can get together and they can agree to defend each other's property. Now then, let's have all you guys get up here and sort of gather around here. Now then, a third thing I want to say. When a group becomes too large, it must choose a smaller group to defend these three things. You follow me? You see? In other words, we can't all get together in the United States what's the population of our country now? You sure? Is that accurate? All right. We can't all, 250 million people, can't have a meeting tomorrow night and say we're going to defend our property. Now, folks in one block can maybe, but we're going to let these fellows represent thousands of people here. All right, I said in the first place, this man has a right to defend his what?
Person.
His person, and his what?
Freedom.
And his what?
Property.
All right. Now, he can, if he so chooses, get with a group of other people, and as a group, they can decide to defend each other's person and property and freedom and property. However, when you have such a large group, and we're letting these folks represent thousands of people, then you have to, then you choose from that group a few people who are responsible to protect your person and your freedom and your property. That's what government is. Government is a group of people chosen by a huge group of people to, for the protection of their person and their freedom and their property. That's all government is. When government gets more than that, it's not Bible government anymore. See, the purpose of government is for those three things. All right, let's have an election here. We're going to choose some, the three of these fellows to be the Senate over us. The nominations? Yes, sir. Nominate Clyde Wolf. All right. The other nominations? United Brother Colston. The other nominations? Bob Hooker. All in favor of Wolf and Colston and Hooker being our Senate, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. And it's carried. And all right. Now then, you fellows can step back. Don't sit down. Just step back, and the three of these fellows come right up here. Now then, it has become the job of these three men to protect all of these people in three areas. First, they're what?
Person.
Second, they're what?
Freedom.
And third, they're what?
Property.
Exactly so. Now, I'm saying that this is what government is. This is the government. The government was not made, the people were not made for the government. The government was made for the people. And the people chose a few people for three reasons, and three reasons only, to protect the person and the freedom and the property of all these people. Thank you, fellows. I may use you again later, but thank you very much. All right, let's review a minute. An individual has a right to protect his person, his freedom, and his property. Then a group of individuals can get together. For example, like if you have a maybe a criminal that's been robbing houses in your neighborhood, you can get together and say, we'll all get together. And occasionally, even a vigilante group. And by the way, I'm not advocating vigilante groups unless the government's not doing what it's supposed to do. But I'm not going to let somebody destroy my family because the government says it's our job and they don't show up, you see. So, consequently, it is an individual's right to defend himself. I mean with force, if need be. It is his right to defend his person and his freedom, and also his property. Now, when a group gets together and they say, okay, we will agree to defend all of our persons and our freedom and our properties, and they're together. But when it becomes a multitude of people, then the people can no longer take care of themselves, and so they choose from themselves a smaller group of people discharged with the responsibility of defending what? First, the second, the freedom. Third, the property. Now, this is what government is, and all that God intended government to be. Do you know what I said? The United States government is not supposed to do anything for its people but to defend us. That's all it's for. That's why the government was made. To defend our person, to defend our freedom, so we can walk and go as we please, and defend our property. It's up to the city of Hammond. If you live in Hammond, it's up to the city of Hammond, and it's all the city of Hammond is supposed to do, is to defend you and your freedom as an American citizen and your property. Now, I said number one, an individual has a right to defend. Don't leave me now because I'm going to get down to some very practical things in a few minutes, like our schools. Now, an individual has a right to defend three things: his person and his freedom and his property. Number two, a group has a right to join together for the common defense of their persons, their freedoms, and their properties. I said number three, when a group becomes too large, it chooses then from its group a smaller group and discharges to them the responsibility. By the way, that group we chose a while ago,
That group was chosen by the big group to serve the big group. The big group wasn't supposed to serve the little group. The little group was supposed to serve the big group. Government was supposed to be, as one of our presidents said, of the people, by the people, and for the people. So, that's the purpose of it. Part number four. By the way, I want to make this statement again. This is all that government is and all it was meant to be. Number four. Bad government is when the group we choose to defend these rights take away those rights. That's what bad government is. So, when government that was chosen and elected, our elected officials, when they're chosen to defend our person, our freedoms, and our properties, when they come to the place to where they take away our freedom of our person. For example, they say, you cannot keep a gun in your house. See? Now, the truth is, every house cannot have a policeman there all the time. And if somebody comes in to shoot you in your house, you don't have a right time to say, would you hold it a minute? I want to call the police. You don't have time to say that. Now, the honest, simple truth is, and I'm not, you say, oh, you're for violence. I am for the basic right of human beings for self-defense and for the defense of the person. Now then, when the government says, or the group we choose, says not only are we not protecting, defending your right of your person, listen to me, of your freedom and of your properties, but we will take away some of those rights, then it becomes bad government. Let me say this. I am free to do what I please as long as what I please to do doesn't deprive another of those three rights. That's what freedom is. I have perfect freedom to do anything that I want to do. It's a God-given thing now. As long as my freedom does not attack your person, your freedom, and your property. Now listen carefully. That's why communism ought to be outlawed in the United States. Because communism is dedicated to the destruction of the second on our list. What's the first thing we have a right to defend? Our what? Second thing, our what? Yes. And communism has avowed to take away the freedoms of the countries of the world. So when a system says, we'll take away your freedoms, that system has no right to exist because that system has walked over. Okay, I was walking down road in street in Tanoga Park yesterday afternoon. And a fellow, he had hair like a Sheila, but he had his windows open and his rock music was blaring. You could have heard it for two or three blocks. Now, he's like, well, he has a right to play his rock music. Not if it infringes upon my freedom, it doesn't. I have a right not to listen to his rock music also. So, when his freedom of listening to rock music infringes on my freedom not to listen to rock music, he's crossed over the line. So, I am free to do what I please to do as long as what I please to do does not infringe upon one of these three basic rights of other people. Now, let me illustrate what I'm trying to say. Let's take a school. Let's take Hammond Baptist Schools, our Hammond Baptist High School, Junior High, and Grade School out in Baptist City. Now, we could become a health hazard. Let's suppose that little creek beside our, we call it the Jordan River, that little creek beside our schools there, let's suppose that became rat infested. Let's suppose that thing became gathering place for germs. Now, what are we doing? We are now infringing upon the person of other people. You follow me? All right, let me ask you a question. Now, let's suppose that these fellows here, all of them, formed the city of Schererville. And these three fellows formed the government of the city of Schererville. We elected them a while ago. They formed the government. Do they have a right to make us clean up the Jordan River? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, they do. Why? Because the people in Schererville have a right to defend their person and their freedom and their property. And that would cause an attack upon their freedom. I'm sorry, on their person. Now, let's go again. Let's suppose that our building, our dormitories at Howells Anderson College are unsafe. Let's suppose that that there is a fire hazard in our dormitories at Howells Anderson College, does the city of Crown Point or the state of Indiana have a right then to come and say, does these who elect, these whom we've elected, let's say, do they have a right to come and, what are they for? They're for the defense of our what? Person and our what? Freedom and our what? Property. All right? Now, if there is a fire hazard in those dormitories, then it is an attack on somebody's what? Person. They could be injured. Mr. Nischick went to the state and turned us in. He went out there and took a bunch of papers and spent, I don't know how long, but good night, he did his homework and checked every little thing out there and went to the state. What he didn't realize is that we're more interested in the safety of those people than he is. Our concern is not trying to get back at somebody. Our concern is trying to keep people safe. So what I'm trying to say is, I may mention this. I called the state of the city fire chief when this building was built, and I asked him to help us to know how to keep this our people safe, because I love you, and you, most of you, I love you, and I want you safe. So ask the question: does the government that we have chosen to keep safe our person and our freedom and our property have a right to see to it that we're safe from fire? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, they do. All right, now let's go out to Howells Anderson College for a minute. So they do have a right to see to it that our buildings and our institution does not infringe upon another person's person, his freedom, or his property, right? All right. Now then, let's suppose I get a call from the state of Indiana, the fire marshal, as I did, or a letter. I've been supposed to get a call. And they say, Reverend Hiles, Pastor Hiles, we're concerned about the safety of your young people. Well, I guarantee you, a guy down in Indianapolis that never has met any of our young people is not as concerned about their safety as I am. And if he knows more about fire safety than I do, and if he can help me keep the people I love safe, I want to talk to him. He was chosen by me for that purpose. Is that not right? He was chosen by us for that specific purpose. But let's suppose that the State Board of Education, as they did one time, sent us a form to fill out. And they said, you've got to be accredited. Howells Anderson College must be accredited by an accrediting association or the State Board of Education, or we'll close you down. All right. I took that little piece of paper they sent me, and we did, and we gently wadded it up and filed it in a little garbage can. They sent us another, and it fit perfectly on top of the first. Now you say, Brother Howells, wait a minute. That's the government of Indiana. The government of Indiana only was chosen by us to protect our person, our freedom, and our properties. All right? Let me ask you a question. Does our curriculum at Howells Anderson College, does whether we teach the Bible or sociology affect anybody's person? Yes or no? Does it endanger anybody's life? Does it endanger anybody's health? No. All right. Does it endanger anybody's freedom? No. The truth is, the people that we chose to protect our freedoms are taking away our freedoms. You see? And that's what bad government is. Hope you're following me here now. That's what bad government is. So, people say, well, you cooperated about the fire code, but how about the education code? Because the fire code is one of the three reasons why we elected those rascals. But we did not elect them to do anything other than defend our person, our freedom, and our properties. Illustrate again. This is going to be controversial. And, of course, you know I never like to be controversial. But anyway, before I leave that, let me go to our faculty. Let me go to our faculty. The state would have a right to keep our buildings safe from fire. All right. Then do they have a right to choose the faculty at Howells Anderson College? No. No. Because the faculty does not give any pose any danger or threat to the person of our population, nor does it pose any threat to our freedom, nor does it pose any threat to our property. So it's none of the state's business who teaches at Howells Anderson College. It's none of the state's business what we teach at Howells Anderson College. Our curriculum is not their business, and our faculty is not their business. But when our if our lake out there were to be infested with some kind of disease that could be spread across the whole county, Southern Lake County, and cause people to die, then that becomes the business of those that we elected for the purpose of taking care of our safety. All right, let's go a step further back to this controversial part. If I am speeding, going 50 miles an hour down Calumet Street, and by the way, I'm a speed limit keeper. I'm a speed limit driver. If I drive to O'Hara Field, it's 55 miles an hour. I drive 55 miles an hour. I mean that. But the best way in the world, if you'll break the all-time record for number of curse words hurled at you if you just keep the speed limit on any street in the whole area. Now, if I am going, okay, I'm going 65 miles an hour down Sibley Street here, and let's say Calumet Street, the speed limit is 35, and I'm going 65 miles an hour. All right, now, these people that I elected to be my government, do they have a right to slow me down, yes or no? Yes, they do. Why? Because I am endangering the life, the person of other people. You follow me? That's why they have a right to see to it that women never drive a car. Right? Right. But I'm saying that's why we elected them. Is that right? We elected them for the defense of our person, our freedom, and our property. All right? So then, not only am I endangering your person when I drive 65 miles an hour in 35 mile zone, I'm also endangering your property. You see. Consequently, first right. Now follow me carefully. Suppose that I am drinking under the influence of alcohol and I'm driving. Do these three people we elected have a right to apprehend me? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, they do. Because I am endangering, again, the person and property. Now, wait a minute. Suppose I'm driving down Calumet, sober, and I do some. Sober, and 30 miles an hour, with my seatbelt unfastened. Am I endangering your life? No. Am I endangering your freedom? Am I endangering your property? So the government has gone across the purpose of government. Now, I'm not interested in what you think about seatbelts, but I think everybody has a perfect right to have his freedoms. Now, if the government says, I've got to put my seatbelt on, if it's not endangering your person, your freedom, or your property, then the government has done... Now, what do you think about it? Okay, let's have a little vote here. How many of you, all the time, you use your seatbelt? Raise your hand, would you please? All right. How many of you, be honest about it, you do not use your seatbelts all the time? You're lawbreakers. Raise your hand, would you please? All right. I'd say that more people here do not use their seatbelts than do use their seatbelts. Now, I'm not trying to divide you at all. It is the law. But it is a bad law. Not because what I think about seatbelts, but because it is outside the purpose of government. You see, we go back to the individual. The individual has a right to defend his what? Person, his freedom, and his property. All right? Then if he wants to get together with others, they have a right to defend the same thing. And then if they become too large a group, they can choose from them people who defend their person and their freedom, and listen to me now, and their properties. All right? Let me illustrate again. Suppose somebody is ill, and suppose he has a religious conviction he should not seek medical help. Is it within the framework of government to make him seek medical help? No, it is not. I mean, if this brother here on the front row is critically ill, and he does not seek medical help, he is not endangering my person. He is not endangering my freedom. He is not endangering my property. He has perfect right. Now, if the government comes along and says he has to in the first place, the government doesn't have that. The government does not have that God-given right. Because every man has three God-given rights: defense of himself, defense of his freedom, and defense of his property. That's the Bible. All right? Now let's go a step further. Here's a female, a woman who is pregnant. And she decides to have an abortion. Why was my government chosen? To defend my person, to defend my freedom, to defend my property. All right, then does that woman have a right to that abortion? No, she does not. Why? What should keep her from it? My government should. See, my government should. My government should not allow her to attack somebody else's person. Consequently, the individual refusing medical treatment the government has no right, God-given right, because it does not come within the framework of the purpose of government and the reason we chose the government, but abortion does come within that. Let me illustrate again. Suppose that, okay, let's go out to a certain county where I was in Virginia. Suppose the church in that county, trying to think of the name of the church where I was preaching, but I can't think of it. Suppose the church in that county has buses that don't have brakes. They have anchors. Much like the one that Vineyard had here, you know. And Vineyard's motto is, you can push it out of the gate, run it. But we didn't have to have brakes on those buses. They didn't run fast enough. You could drag your foot and stop them. But I'm kidding there, because nobody ever worked harder here than Jim Vineyard, and he's one of my dearest friends. But I always kidded him about it because the buses, well, let's put it this way, Greyhound did not try to buy any of our old buses. Let's suppose that we have buses that have no brakes, slick tires, steering is bad. Now, these three people, we're talking about this whole group over here, if they have buses like that, do these three people here have the right to see to it those buses are safe? Yes, they do. Perfect right. That's why we elected them, right? All right, now, ask this question. Do they have a right to make us paint them a certain color? No. Let's go back to Virginia. There's a law in a town or area in Virginia that says if you build a church building, you have got to cover that building with trees from both sides, so folks coming down the street cannot see the church building. Now let me ask you a question. Was that the reason we elected these three fellows a while ago? Do those trees endanger anybody's person? Do those trees endanger anybody's freedom? Do those trees endanger anybody's property? So what have they done? When they get to the place, follow me carefully now, when government gets to the place to where it does more than the three things it's supposed to do, it of necessity takes away one or more of the three things. I mean, the fourth thing, whatever it is a taking away of one of the three. Usually, freedom. All right, I said in the first place, an individual has a right to defend three things: his person, his freedom, and his property. I said number two, a group has a right to join together to defend those three things. I said number three, when that group becomes too large, it must choose a representative smaller group for the protection of those three things. I said number four, when government, bad government, is when the group we choose to defend these rights takes away those rights. Number five, so it is the government's job not to help us succeed, but to give us the freedom of opportunity to succeed. See? It's not the government's job to help you succeed. It's the government's job to see to it that you have the freedom not to be hurt physically, the freedom to have to walk as you will, and the freedom not to have your property taken, and the purpose of the protection of those very freedoms. Don't let that boy go out by himself. Son, it's dangerous out there. There's people out there, go with him to the restroom or something. We have all kinds of characters. I saw Randy Erickson out there, people like that. And all right. Now then, what I'm saying is this. I'm saying that the philosophy, listen now, the philosophy that says that the government owes you more than an opportunity is wrong. You cannot justifiably, in God's word, according to God's word, blame the government for your failure. The government does not owe you a house to live in. The government does not owe you a job. The government does not owe you a salary. The government owes you protection from your person, for your person, and for your freedom, and for your property, so you can have the opportunity to have a house and a job and a salary. That's all the government's made for. Socialism starts, follow me carefully, this is important. Socialism starts when the government goes beyond those three things. That's what socialism is. Democracy is the government protecting your person and your freedom and your property. You have a right to call the police. And the police ought to come. You have a right to call the fire department. They're protecting your property. That's what the government's for. The government was never made to have a bunch of bureaus where they're supposed to snoop in your personal business and tell you what you're supposed to do. You hear me carefully. If it is not in the defense of your person and your freedom and your property, it is not a Bible government. It's socialism. All right, the next thing. Socialism is forced benevolence. Now follow me carefully. When you make me pay taxes to feed somebody who's hungry, you took away my second right. I have a right to feed whom I want to feed. So when you take away my right to choose whom I feed, you have stolen my right, the very purpose I put you in office for. I put you there to say to it, my person to be defended, and my freedom defended, and my property defended. And when you say to me, you don't have freedom to spend your money as you wish, then you have taken away the freedom that you're supposed to defend. And that's what socialism is. Socialism says, we'll tell you where to spend your money for benevolence. Socialism says, we'll decide what poor people you feed. Socialism says, we'll decide what people's people you pay rent for. That's socialism. And that's why it's godless. Because it takes away your freedom instead of defending your freedom. And the purpose of government is for the defense of your freedom. If the government is attacking your liberty and forcing you to give, don't misunderstand me. You say, are you against taxes? Listen carefully. No. But what are taxes for? Taxes are for the support of those three people we chose a while ago. To defend our person, and defend our freedom, and defend our property. Sure, we ought to pay taxes to pay firemen. Sure, we ought to pay taxes to pay policemen. Sure. Sure, we ought to pay taxes for the defense of those three basic freedoms every human being has. But when it goes beyond that, taxes are unbiblical, unscriptural, because they've gone beyond the purpose of human government. I said, number one, an individual has the right to defend three things, his person, his freedom, and his property. I said, number two, a group has a right to organize for the defense of those three. I said, number three, when a group is too large, it must choose a smaller group from its group and charge them with the responsibility of defending those three things. I said, bad government is when the group we choose to defend those three things take away one or more of those three things. I said, number five, so it's the government's job not to help us succeed, but to give us the freedom of opportunity. I said, number six, socialism is forced benevolence. Number seven, follow me carefully. That means that the difference between good government and bad government is basically one simple thing. Does it or does it not defend the three things it's supposed to defend? That means that 99% of America's social programs are not biblical. You have no... If I choose you to defend my person, my freedom, and my property, you have no right to force me to pay you any money except for one of those three, things. None. And yet, in Washington, D.C., and in all the cities across America, most of our legislators and our councilmen and our senators and congressmen are spending more time taking away these three things than defending these three things. So, bad government's against God. Now follow me carefully. Whatever degree a government infringes on these three things, to that degree it is socialistic. Pure communism takes away all of these. Pure communism takes away, you're not important. Your person is not important. The government's important. Your freedom is not important. The system is important. Your property is not important. The government owns your property. That's pure communism. Now, to whatever degree a government gets outside these three things, to that degree, it's communistic or socialistic. Now, you say, what are you saying? I'm saying that in our churches, we're facing some battles. Dr. David Gibbs and his attorneys are fighting battles for us all the time. And their battles basically are wrapped around this thing. Nobody's saying that we shouldn't have fire codes. Look, take this asbestos thing. Of course, it's a tragedy. These three fellows we elect, it's you guys' fault. It really is. These three fellows we elect, they're usually so late catching up with what we already knew. You know, why didn't you tell us asbestos was bad before we put the asbestos in the building? All right. Let me ask you a question then. Does the government, and you can apply this to a million things, do those three people that we elected, do they have a right to tell you not to smoke? No, they don't. But they have a right to tell you not to smoke around me. If you want to get in a room, close the windows, smoke, and get work on getting cancer, it's your business. But you have no right to, listen to me now, you have no right to get on my airplane and smoke, so I'll get your cancer. You have no right to sit in the restaurant where I go, so I can get your cancer. Now, these three people, if a guy wants to commit suicide with cigarettes, that's okay. But if a guy wants to commit murder with cigarettes, that's not okay. Consequently, that's what the battle is all about. That's what David Gibbs and Craze, those guys, are all fighting for. They're fighting for government to not intervene and take away the very things it's supposed to defend. We have a right, a God-given right, to the protection of our person. I have a right. Bible said, if you shoot me, somebody's supposed to shoot you. I charge you to do it, you three fellows. Somebody shoots me, you guys shoot. I'm saying government, and we shouldn't have to have 40 appeals from an appellate court to get it done. We shouldn't take us 15 years to get Mr. Speck where he ought to be. Or longer. I'm saying that's what the purpose of it is. Now, we face, in our generation, we face governments chosen by us to protect our person, protect our freedom, and protect our property. And those governments are gone beyond that, and anything beyond that, you don't go beyond that without taking that away. So when you go beyond that, you're not within the biblical or democratic processes of government. America's not a democracy. For example, if I want to build, if I decide to build a church, and it's in your neighborhood,
I am not hurting you personally. I am not taking away your freedom. I'm not taking away your property. So I got a right to go to church. Perfect right. They're passing laws in our school. See, they want to run our schools for us. But they have no right to run our schools unless our schools are causing danger for somebody's person, somebody's freedom, or somebody's property. Consequently, that's the battle. And that's why sometimes somebody says, well, the state contacted you about one thing and you cooperated. But the same state government contacted you about something else and you didn't cooperate. What's the deal? We'll cooperate in any of these things for which we elected these fellows. But here's the problem. The problem is these fellows we've elected have given too much power to people we didn't elect. Our senators and legislatures and city councils and congresses, they're not running this country. Bureaus are running this country who are interpreting the laws that these men make. That's what's running this country. But they have no right to do it unless it is one of these three things. Now, one of these days, this is why I've been putting off, I've been going to do what I'm doing tonight. One of these days, they're going to come to us, and they're going to do something we're not going to do. Tell us to do something we're not going to do. And we're going to say that's not what we sent you to Indianapolis. We sent you to Indianapolis to defend our person, our freedom, and our property. And now then you are passing laws that take anything other than that takes away the middle one. Consequently, we're not going to do it. I mean, they'll be selling popsicles and snow cones in Hades before the state of Indiana will tell us what textbooks we'll use. Not going to do it. We'll fight it all the way. Because that's not why we elected them. But that same state can come and say, look, you got a little problem here. Okay, for example, we found, Mr. Nischik found, and they told us, and I appreciated his doing it, but not his motive, found that coming down the stairs in one of our girls' dorms, there was about not quite enough, space. You were there with the plan. Okay, had to go single file in case they had to evacuate the building. Had to go single file, couldn't go double file. Well, we thanked the man, and we worked it out, Mr. McCarroll. Yeah, Mr. McCarroll went out and did some work and helped us on that. And we widened the place so that the girls, in case of fire, could go a double instead of single file. And I appreciated the state doing that. Why? Because that helped save the person of our girls, you see. But if they come along and tell us our teachers have to have degrees from certain institutions, we'll say drop a fitteth. None of your business. It's none of that. That's not why we sent you there. We sent you there to protect our person, our freedom, and our property. All right, if you want to make these notes, I'll give you the main points, the 8 points. I promise you I would. Number one, an individual has a right to defend three things. One, his person. Two, his freedom. Three, his property. An individual has a right to defend three things. First, his person. Second, his freedom. Third, his property. Now, you can use a lot of ditto marks. A group has a right to join together to defend those three things. A group has a right to join together to defend those three things. Number three, when that group becomes too large, it may choose a smaller group to defend those three things. All those three things are the whole issue. a smaller group to defend those three things. Every time I think of, I say something, I want to make another comment. I wish that the people we chose as our servants, we're not their servants, they're ours. I wish those people would spend more time making these people quit driving 55 miles an hour down Calumet Street, obeying the speed limits, obeying the stop signs. Nobody ever stops anymore hardly for a stop sign. While they are endangering our lives because they're not doing what they're put there to do, they're doing a bunch of stuff they weren't put there to do. Number four, bad government is when the group we choose to defend these three things takes one or more away. Bad government is when a group we choose to defend these three things takes one or more away. Number five, so it is the government's job not to help us succeed, but to give us the freedom of opportunity to succeed. It's the government's job not to help us succeed, but to give us the freedom of opportunity to succeed. Number six, socialism then is forced benevolence, which takes away, of course, that second right, freedom. When you go out and work hard to earn your money, you've got a perfect right to decide whom you feed. You have a right not to feed some drunken slob, look like he swallowed a watermelon whole, laying on a sofa watching the color television set while you feed him. You've got a right. So what should happen to that slob? He ought to starve to death. That's what the Bible says. Man, don't work. Don't let him eat. Number six, socialism is forced benevolence. Number seven, the difference between good government and bad government is whether it defends those three rights or takes them away. Number eight, hence, good government is against God. Why is it against God? It's against God. I'm sorry. Bad government's against God. I only got one word wrong. Nobody's perfect. Bad government's against God. That's what you call confidence and trust when you write it down. Bad government's against God. I don't mean it's against God as a person. It's against the belief in God. Bad government is a degree of atheism. Because the government... See, look, the government is supposed to give you a chance to succeed. God is, okay, God sends the rain. You can't blame the government because it doesn't rain. You can't blame the government because we don't have any sunshine. But when the government crosses over any other thing other than these three things, the government becomes your support rather than God. God's the one that gives success. If you meet his requirements for success. The government is only supposed to see to it that in your life you have your person defended, you have your freedom defended, and you have your property defended. And by the way, there was a day when that's all, basically all a government did in America. That's basically it. Well, you say, preacher, who's supposed to feed the poor? Neighbors? Churches, relatives mainly. That's it. What do? We send the dollar to Washington. We could have taken next door and a person could have got the whole dollar. We pay the postman. We pay the postal workers. We pay for the buildings, the post office buildings. We pay for the bureaucrats in Washington and send that dollar there. So the guy next door can get a dime back. The job is for the next door neighbor to take the dollar over. Voluntarily. Shall we stand, please? Would somebody talk to my next door neighbors about that dollar? Thus, folks may leave and go to your meetings.